superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Mitch throws out this email that kind of runs down the whole week of birthdays and movie releases. So today, 22nd anniversary of Analyze This release.
Wow.
Of course, it's Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro is like a mob boss who needs therapy, kind of, you know, kind of like The Sopranos.
Well, I remember when the first Sopranos preview came out, and I'm like, "Wow, okay, I'd never heard of James Gandolfini before."
No,
but you
know, I had small parts in True Romance, and so
I really wasn't familiar with his work.
Yeah,
but so, I did think it was. Are they making a TV show based on Analyze This? I really thought so.
Right. So let's go best Robert De Niro comedy role.
Your choices are?
Analyze This.
Yes.
Meet the Parents, Midnight Run, Dirty Grandpa. That's the one with Zac Efron, not the one you showed your kids.
Now, you know, it's funny. In the conversation I have with McConaughey, and again, please, everybody go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your Apple Podcasts and see, you know, my conversation and listen to my conversation as well. With Matthew McConaughey, and I do ask him about Wolf of Wall Street, and he says that Scorsese loves to laugh, and he loves humor, and we talked a little bit about how Scorsese's movies, even when they're dark and frightening and also very serious or bloody, there's humor in everything. Now, there's a movie called The King of Comedy, where De Niro plays a stalker or a guy who just is
obsessed
with a late night talk show host, Jerry Langford, played by Jerry Lewis. He plays Rupert Pupkin.
Great name.
And there are some laugh out loud, hilarious moments in the film. Sandra Bernhardt is another stalker of Jerry Langford. And what they do, so Rupert gets a shot at doing stand-up comedy on the late night show, is they kidnap Jerry Lewis.
Fantastic movie.
Jeez.
They kidnap the Jerry Langford character, and as ransom, they won't release him until they see Rupert Pupkin on TV doing his stand-up act.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like the Carson. Lewis is like the Carson.
Yeah, he's the Johnny Carson.
So you're like famous if you get
and
on the show.
It's not a comedy, but there are some funny parts in it. It doesn't belong in this list, but
dramedy,
I just feel the need to. I feel the need. There's a ton of satire in it.
Yes,
and it's definitely not the first maybe 3, 4, 5 Scorsese De Niro
together,
movies,
right?
That you talk about. You know, Mean Streets would even be before that. Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Goodfellas. But this is, I just feel the need to mention that. It's because the word comedy is in the title. There is some funny stuff. And it just disturbs me that Dirty Grandpa's on this list. At least you didn't go with the War with Grandpa, which we have been down this road lately. Because it upset me, just to bring everyone up to speed in case you're wondering. It upset me when Susie and I were watching with all three of our children because they insisted on watching it, that it struck me that this was the first De Niro movie in the lives of my children, and I felt I was letting them down. Like I'm going to show a 12, 10, and 7-year-old, Mean Streets.
Or Mean Streets.
And speaking of Rupert Pupkin, here's a little note for Entourage fans out there, as I know Brockman is. Rupert Pupkin was the name that Johnny Drama had Vinny Chase's name saved under in his phone.
And it's a great...
That's funny.
It's a great, funny reference. It's a brilliant sort of next-level reference. You know, so without question, though, there's a clear answer on this poll question.
I have seen
Meet the Parents on a plane, and I've never been on a plane where every human being on the plane is laughing. everybody was laughing at it. And it is a brilliantly funny movie. And his character, you know, I'm watching you and all of that. And Analyze This is funny, too. Nothing beats Midnight Run. As a matter of fact, Midnight Run is my favorite comedy of all time. With the in-laws, look it up. Go see it. I know you haven't seen that with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin.
Is this a movie from the 70s?
It is, sir.
Sun is on the Midnight Run like De Niro.
It is. But I'm just opening your mind a little bit here, Chris.
In-laws, yeah, I see it.
Not the remake. The remake with our friend Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas.
No, this
Douglas
is Alan Arkin and Peter Falk, right?
Was not at all remotely close.
Not even, no.
To be, it shouldn't have been made.
Exactly.
But Midnight Run is hilarious. It is profane. It is touching.
It
is moving. It is about a relationship between men thrown together in the craziest of circumstances. The music is amazing. I know that's not supposed to be a comedy, but De Niro in this is as good in this as he is in any other movie, and I will fight people over that.
Go have a cream soda.
Well, I mean, you know,
Midnight Run can't be funnier than Meet the Parents.
That whole movie is great.
But that's not a De Niro line.
I know.
You know,
but the whole movie.
I'm telling everybody, it is. I would put De Niro's performance as Jack Walsh, who is unpopular with the Chicago Police Department, up against, in that movie, up against De Niro as Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, as Jake LaMotta, as anything he's ever done. And I will fight people on that, and that is my choice, and I bet you it won't even finish in third place. It's going to upset me, Chris.
No, Rich. Okay. Midnight Run is actually running away with it.
Thank God.
Oh, people are getting it.
Thank God.
Why are you unpopular with the Chicago
Police? I mean, Charles Grodin in that movie, too. He's kind of disappeared. He's disappeared. Mike Del Tufo is a star as well.
Sure he is.
Because who else would post a poll question on their Twitter account? I saw all but one of these comedians in person perform. Which one did I not see perform in person?
We were speaking about this yesterday afternoon.
Eddie Murphy,
right,
DJ? Andrew Dice Clay, and George Carlin were the choices. So just for those who may not know Mike or the reason why he's putting it up there, because we were talking about seeing comedians in person, he just wants all of his followers, just take a guess. Which one of these comedians did I not see perform?
Back me up on this. Were we and you and Adam not speaking about this?
No, it's got nothing to do with it. It's not.
We did it.
No. I'm not saying that this doesn't have context in terms of why it would be on your mind. It's just,
I've been around.
How is that a poll question?
Why would you tweet that out and ask people to guess?
Because we were talking about it, and TJ and
we had
Adam,
a little post-show talk.
I understand. And
I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and I see Del Tufo put out a poll, and I'm like thinking to myself, what's the poll? And it's just, which one of these people have I not seen in person? And I've known you now for almost 20 years. I've been working with you daily in and out for almost 7 years, and I don't know. And I don't even have a frame of reference to even figure it out. So I guess George Carlin, just because it's been old. Oh, see, I'm wrong. But it's just it's like, which one of these? It's kind of like the answer that Cliff Clavin gave on Jeopardy. Like, who has not been in my kitchen? Like, okay. I guess.
No.
That is insane.
It's just insane to post that.
That is insane. That is the epitome of narcissism.
You know what? Here's the deal, guys.
Which one of these people have I not seen
in
person?
I'm not even responding to this.
I'll handle this. Because normally, if it's a Paolo and Del Tufo, I'm coming off the top rope like Macho Man with the elbow.
Yes. Thank you.
But we did. This was part of our post-show discussion, and maybe there should have been a little bit more context to it.
Context.
How many followers does Mike Del Tufo have on Twitter? It's a nice number.
Like a million?
Because TJ hangs out with the stars, and Mike is one of them.
There is context on Instagram. If you looked at my Instagram, there is context, and I'll send this one in, and we'll read
Mike,
where to come
Mike,
back.
Mike, we're not questioning the context.
It's a tapestry, Chris.
Why would you post that for people to answer? Why?
I do, hold on.
I'm not mad at you,
Mike. Once a week, I do a what's like Mike thing. This is one of my things.
This is a Mike thing.
It's a Mike thing I do.
So in a case, so bottom
ask
line
Mike.
Is, here's,
there you go.
Here's now just for the Rich Eisen Show audience. And, you know, they call it broadcasting because you want to actually talk to a broad audience. Okay. So people might not know context. You've got to continuously broaden things out by providing as much context for people who might just surf in or whatever. So for anybody who might not understand the context of anything that Mike Del Tufo posts, it's a puzzle. It's a tapestry. You've got to visit his Instagram. You've got to put it all together.
Like,
so you understand.
Who Mike met?
I still don't even know the answer to this question. I don't even know if I care.
You care.
You do.
I do not.
Last week I asked.
Okay, so out of Justin Herbert and David Koechner, they're both going to be on the show.
Yes.
So they'll both be in your presence in hour three. So now they're here on Peacock. Can we let the Peacock audience? So you have seen George Carlin in person.
Yes.
That leaves, I've now narrowed it down to three, Chris. It's a caper.
You know, TJ. Shh.
But it's I'm throwing darts at a board. Like, I don't know.
He texted Brockman.
No,
the
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
I don't. It's like I'm throwing a dart at a board. Like, I don't. It's not like you even give a hint. Like,
well, last week I did who I had not met in musicians. I put Quincy Jones,
so these are,
Springsteen. I do it once a week.
This is a running.
Yes.
It's a running theme.
That's what I was saying.
Out of context theater.
It's not out of context.
Of course it is. It's just like, who have I not met?
It's fun.
You've definitely seen Dice Clay in person.
Yes.
Okay.
And got heckled by him.
Hickory dickory da.
So here we go.
I mean,
don't finish the sentence.
No, I won't.
Say it.
What is happening?
I love Brockman's.
I love it.
What is? I don't.
It's a very obvious one out of the group.
Why?
Because he didn't
obvious?
Perform a lot in the '80s.
Sam Kinison?
I'm going to put up a poll.
I saw Kinison twice.
What GOAT have I never seen play in person? Like, that's the same type of stuff that you're doing. It's different about it?
Okay, in Mike's defense here, right, I'll just say this. When you have a Twitter following, right, these are people who are following you for a specific reason.
Okay.
And, you know, Mike has a relationship with the people that he's following and that follow him. So maybe they are into
the
stuff that Mike likes.
Nice. You know? Higher register.
Nice. So well done.
Yeah, but it still doesn't matter. Like, I have
weird.
No choice but to follow Mike every day because he's staring right in front of me. Okay, like he's right there.
I'm looking at him
every day, and I've been around him 20 years. I've flown on planes with him.
You guys go back like a car seat.
Literally sitting next to Mike Del Tufo on a plane, I got an idea, just a little sense of what Evander Holyfield might have felt. Boxing against Mike Tyson.
He bit you on the ear?
No, like figuratively talked it off.
No, me and the guy next to me. Me and the guy next to me had a conversation.
So
Rich doesn't.
No, but so I think out of everybody here and anybody else on his Twitter following who might not be a family member, I think I've got the best frame of reference out of maybe anybody. And I don't even have an idea who this person is. It's a total like dartboard. Like I got 1 in 4 chance.
I got some ice cream.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of our social media grandmaster, as he cares to be known, TJ Jefferson, at 2Jiggy, for those who care to follow our social media grandmaster. You've known this gent for quite some time. We're thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is what we call, you know, high-quality booking, not just because of who he is and what day it is. It's the 18th anniversary of Punk'd making its debut on MTV. But we're kind of stepping in it. There's Big Bears news, and he's a Big Bears fan. Ashton Kutcher here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I am delightful. How are you?
I am better for talking to you. All right, screw it. Give me your favorite TJ Jefferson story.
Wow.
Let's just jump right in. What do you got for me, Ashton?
Oh man. You know what the thing is? Is that I have to think long and hard about this because TJ has so much compromise on me that I don't want to play an exchange war with this man.
Wow, what is this photograph we're seeing right here? Let's help Ashton out. It's you and him in a pool. How old is this photograph that we're looking at right here?
That picture is from July 3rd, 2001.
Damn,
we had just moved. He and I used to be roommates. We never said that. And he bought that house. He was lucky, you know. He was nice enough to allow me to live there with him. And we moved in the first day of July, and we decided everyone would have a 4th of July party. So why don't we have a 3rd of July party?
And this is the photograph we're seeing, huh, Ashton, on the screen here.
It must be. I can't see the photo, but right. I'm assuming that it is.
It is that. Yes, it is. You can take the trust. So.
I'll give you a great TJ Jefferson.
You don't have
story.
To, by the
no,
way.
No, he does. Know. Please turn his microphone off.
No, this is a quality nice. One. I'll put a little shine on you.
Okay.
So, you know, TJ and I, TJ was like, we worked together for a while and started traveling around the world and doing various things. When I would go on promotional tours for various films and things. And at one point, we ended up in Australia, and I think I had to work the next day or something. And TJ was like, "I'm going to go out," and so he goes out to a nightclub and basically gets kicked out because the bouncer at the nightclub thought that his Altoids were drugs because they'd never seen Altoids before, and so they kicked him out. and the guy looked at his like can of Altoids and thought like TJ was like drug dealing inside of his nightclub.
And all you wanted was fresh breath, TJ, just in case you met someone at the club.
I was just trying to talk to this Sheila, as they call him down there.
More things change, the more they stay the same. That's basically what you're saying.
True not.
You're in 2021. Ashton Kutcher here on the Rich Eisen Show. 18 years ago, Punk'd debuted tonight. Ashton, how did that show come about for you? Where did that one come from all those years ago for you?
So when I was growing up, there were these audio tapes that you could get of these guys, the Jerky Boys.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And the Jerky Boys would like call and prank phone call people, and they would play these characters in their prank phone calls. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. When I was younger, I still think it's really funny, but with through a slightly different lens today. But I always thought that was the funniest thing. And I watched Candid Camera and things like that, but I felt like Candid Camera never quite took it far enough.
Yes.
And it just didn't have like the edge of like the Jerky Boys that would go all the way there. And so that's really where I started batting back and forth with my producing partner at the time, this idea of like, can we make a show that's like the Jerky Boys? And none of my representation wanted me to do it. They were like, you know, you're an actor. You're not going to be seen as a serious actor if you go and do a reality show. And I was like, no, I want to make this and I want to do this. And I was doing the 70s show at the time and shooting some films and, And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I want to do it on MTV. And then I got to MTV and they're like, okay, we'll do this show, but you've got to pull the pranks on celebrities. And I was like, all right. And that's sort of how it came to be.
So when you're saying you didn't think Candid Camera committed or to the bit or committed to the prank far enough, are you referring to making Justin Timberlake think his home was being repoed by the IRS, for instance? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of thing. making Beyonce think that she ruined Christmas because she dropped the tree that was like, you know, the ceremonial Christmas tree in the middle of, you know, Century City. Having undercover agents come and bust the gambling ring and bust through windows, like that kind of thing.
So which celebrity was the most upset or by being punked, Ashton? I imagine when it was first starting, they've probably been like, what gives? And then obviously when the phrase even got out there that people, you know, pulling pranks in just everyday life, the word punking somebody to this day still even exists. Before you reached that, I imagine, or even when you did reach that sort of status, which celebrity got the most upset with you?
I mean, I think the celebrity that's most upset is me because I don't own this show.
You've been punked.
I wasn't wise enough back then to know that I should own it. But I think, you know, the people that took it, that had the hardest time with it were comedians.
Huh.
Which is interesting. You'd think that they would love it. But comedians like to be in control of the joke. They don't want the joke to be on them unless they're making the joke about themselves. And so oftentimes we would do a punk on a comedian and they would get really, they just wouldn't be happy about it. And then there were a couple instances where I think A-Rod was in the middle of like a trade deal and he was talking about it with friends and that was on camera and he's like, nah, you got to burn the tapes. And then there was one where somebody pulled out a gun.
Whoa.
Huh?
No, I'm just listening. I'm like, whoa, somebody pulled out a gun, huh?
Yeah, somebody pulled out a firearm in the middle of it and it got a little heated. But at the end, everybody was cool with it. I don't think anybody holds a grudge, on it. I think it's just in that moment, people would get pretty upset that, you know, like Zach Braff, like beat up a kid. People got upset.
He beat up a kid. He literally beat somebody up because he was
there
punked.
Was a kid. There was like a, we had a kid that, He wasn't a kid, but he looked like he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he was like spray painting his Porsche in a parking lot. And he just started he started getting physical with him. And we had to go calm that down.
Yeah, you got to tap that one out because so at some point a line gets crossed. And so you're saying, Ashton Kutcher, that A-Rod was caught on tape talking about inside baseball stuff, literally. And thus, when the punking was revealed, he's like, yeah, you're not airing that. Did anything air from him? Or did
We literally pulled the film and destroyed it in front of him. Because that was the thing about the show, which is unlike a lot of the other shows that are out there, every single person who was ever on Punked signed a release that said it's okay to air this, right? Like, we didn't air anything of anyone without their permission. And you know, it seems that line has been crossed nowadays. But back then, that was the deal. And we honored that. Like, if we got to the end of it and someone was like, no, not cool, we're not airing, you can't air it, we didn't. And in that case, he made us destroy the tapes.
Ashton Kutcher here on the Rich Eisen Show. You think it could be done today? I mean, social media being what it is, it could be shared left and right, up and down. You know that. You're the first guy, first individual to get a million folks on Twitter. That, by the way, was 12 years ago. Do you think this could be done again, rebooted, Ashton?
Yeah, with the right people, it could get done again. I actually think the interesting way to do it would be do it through like NFTs. And like actually shoot a punk and make the prank itself in the video and NFT, where there was a royalty right where the person who got pranked actually owned a piece of it for perpetuity, and then people could buy it, sell it, trade it.
Whoa. Let's pitch that out. Me, yeah. You,
thanks,
TJ.
Bro.
Let's
put that thing together.
Let's pitch that out, Ashton.
Hey, Rich, you know, one thing you were talking about people getting mad. There was one time when, you know, because punk got to be so big that, you know, at the beginning, Ashton was there for all of them. But then as his career took off and he had to do 70 show and movies, it was like, well, if we wanted to get rich and Mike and Chris were helping set us up and we could only get you at this time and this date, if he couldn't be there, we still have to do it. Like, this has to go on.
Right.
So The Rock, we're punking The Rock. He's shooting the movie Be Cool. The director, F. Gary Gray, is the accomplice, right? So Ashton's not there. He's doing a night shoot. So Jason Goldberg and I were running the punk that day, and we blew up The Rock's trailer. Like, his trailer for the movie got blown up.
I remember that.
And as the reveal starts to come, you know, we had our two field agents, Whitney Cummings was one, and Vince Green was another, and they're kind of poking at The Rock, like, well, it's kind of your fault. I asked you about, like, plugging in an iron, and, it, like, they're basically insinuating it's his fault, and he's being cool, but you could see The Rock is starting to now get more and more upset.
He's cooking.
Everybody's pointing at him and saying, this is your fault, and he's talking about his Lava Lavas, which are a Samoan wrap that he would wear.
Yeah.
And finally, our guy Vince, who was really good at agitating people, said something to him, and The Rock kind of like made a move towards him. And everybody swarmed, and then F. Gary Gray had to jump in and go, hey, Rock, guess what? You've been punked. And like, you could see The Rock like seething, and it literally was about 10 seconds where he went from 100 mad to he calmed down.
Okay.
And then I had met him before, so I was like the first person from production who went up to approach him and be like, hey, bro, everything cool, Rock? You know? And I was a little bit worried about that one, but that one, you know, Ashton wasn't there for that one, and it was like...
But you got a report on that, I'm sure, Ashton, by the end of the day.
Yeah, I actually got called in to, like, I showed up at the very end to be like, Rock, it's all cool, right? Like, you know, Dwayne, remember when you did the 70s show back in the day? Play the professor, we're friends. So it's good. Like, I got called in at the end of it. But, I mean, there was some crazy – I mean, I thought somebody was going to get killed on the Kanye one because he took off and, like, jumped on top of a moving car. And, like, I mean, there were some that, like, were borderline dangerous. I guess the one question as to whether or not it could be done today is legal. Because we were right on the edge of, like, we always had a lawyer screaming at us in the control room for every one of these things. And so, you know, now, I mean, people are a little more litigious. Mm. It might not be able to go off.
A couple more minutes left here with Ashton Kutcher. On the anniversary of Punked, a lot of Bears fans think they are being punked right now by the signing of Andy Dalton. Are you one of them, Ashton Kutcher?
Are you talking about the orange rifle?
That's the one. That one.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, my mom always told me when I got to the dinner table, you get what you get and you don't get upset, right? So, you know, I'm looking at Andy Dalton and I'm like, I always try to find, like, the good side of it. You know, one, we have a first round, a second round, a third round, fifth round, or I think like a fifth round, seventh round draft pick next year. And so, you know, we didn't have to give up the world, right? And and if we would have got Russell Wilson, it sounds like that deal would have meant giving up the franchise. We need an offensive line. Like, we need depth in our offensive line. Like, Daniels went down last year, and it was obvious. Like, it's why we had a good run at the beginning of the season, and it fell off, is that we're playing the offensive line shuffle game all year, and because we just don't have the depth there. So I'm happy that we've got some draft picks. I'm happy that we still have some, you know, powder in the chamber. And look, if you look at Dalton, like, through his career, you know, I think last year, like, he's always hovered around like a 60%+ completion rate. And And that's good news, right? Because, you know, Trubisky, when under pressure, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So I'm excited to have a guy that can deliver the football on target. And, you know, other than like that, his last year in Cincinnati, it was kind of like he knew he was out the door and it was kind of ugly. He's played well. And we got Robinson. We got the franchise tag on, and Miller is great. And Mooney is, you know, a really promising young talent.
Yeah.
So he's got some receivers. So maybe we can get an offensive line, and our defense is dope. So and we have a new defensive coordinator. That's a little, you know, we'll see. He's been with the franchise for a while. He was a safeties coach, but I actually think it's a smart move. All in all, given, you know, we could get Russell Wilson, but he'd probably get hurt if we can't bolster our offensive line to keep him upright. And then you've spent all your draft picks and all your money on a guy who's just got hurt because you couldn't protect him.
All right, so you're being positive about it, and I appreciate the glass half full right there. And you know, and our radio audience is going to be going away in about 30 seconds time, and we'll continue this conversation on our Peacock side for just a couple of minutes before we say farewell to Ashton Kutcher. But we do have a segment here, Ashton, called Higher Register, where we have to kind of go up here in order to believe what we're saying. You did start a little higher register about Andy Dalton. Like, hey, you know, I mean, he's got that 60% completion percent. Like, you did go a little higher register on me there, Ashton, you know?
Listen, is this the guy for the future of the organization? I don't know, but I also don't think that we're picking up a guy in like the 11th year of his career and thinking that this is the guy for the future of the organization. So, right. You know, he might be a guy that he's a guy that gives us a shot.
I know. And we're back an hour, three in a second, but sure. Yeah. I know. I hear what you're saying, you know, and I like your moxie. I like your positive thinking, Ashton. I just like it. It's very,
it's how I get through life, Rich.
It's how you do it. Okay. So what do you think? 10 wins for the Bears? Mm. You think they actually threaten the Packers? What do you think? What do you got for me?
Oh man. I have to look at the schedule. I'm not just going to throw it out there.
I really
need to look at the schedule.
Well, it's coming out. So you got a few more weeks. And then maybe, as I was saying before, Ashton, and I'll just match your positive for positive before sending you off onto your Wednesday, that if they draft somebody 20th overall as a rookie, what better quarterback room than having Foles and Dalton to show them the ropes, to not only show them about how to be a professional, but how competition can be healthy with two awesome human beings in the room. So maybe that's something you can look at by the end of April, you know?
I would like to I would like to get some offensive line love in. Let's build that up for a year. Say we've got Dalton for two, and then go for a quarterback.
Long game. All right. Very good. Hey, Ashton, thanks for the time today. Strolling down memory lane. And, you know, we're thrilled to be able to know what you've known a very long time. It's just how awesome TJ Jefferson is and what a great what a great person he is and how much fun he is to be around, and just like a layer, just keep unlayering all the layers of TJ Jefferson every single day, you know?
Listen, he was my co-pilot in our fantasy football sports show that we did for years. He and I, well, like, I think we did like three seasons.
Yeah.
And so I knew he was destined to be doing this. So I'm stoked that he's doing it with you.
Outstanding. Yeah. And soon he'll be above the fold in his hometown newspaper for right up in Altoona. He's just below the fold with us. Maybe together, you and I, Ashton, we can get him above the fold of the hometown Altoona newspaper. For
when he wins, Price is Right.
Yes. Yes! Come on down.
Rich, you were saying you knew a lot about Rod Woodson.
I do.
Were you aware that in the early 1990s, Rod Woodson was the proprietor of perhaps the greatest sports bar I've ever been to my entire life in Pittsburgh, called Woodson's?
I did not know that.
It was, Brotman, you would have loved this place. The video games were outstanding. The food was great. I mean, Woodson's was the best sports bar I've ever been to in my entire life.
Now, does that mean, because then...
TJ, was that on the water?
It was in Station Square in Pittsburgh. So yeah.
When Seton Hall played Pitt, I believe.
Yeah. Early 90s, yeah. Right on the water.
Was he around? Did you see him around?
Yeah, I remember one time he came in, we talked about it. I'm pretty sure I saw him. I remember playing NBA Jam with Carnell Lake multiple times.
Well, he loved Carnell Lake. He talked about him all the time.
Yeah, Carnell Lake was a good dude, and he was at Woodson's a lot. And I remember beating Carnell Lake in NBA Jams.
That's a great quote.
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
With Carnell Lake.
That
is
was
one
the
of,
best
game. It's a, by good. The way, that's a great Mad Lib. You know, filling like the Mad Lib yeah. would be, I played blank with blank. First blank is video 80s video game, and then blank is 80s, 90s NFL star.
90s video game.
It's 90s video game?
Yeah.
Okay. So
what was the golf one?
So if it was an 80s one, man, I love playing Mike Tyson's Golden Punch Out with, hold on a minute.
Just random with NFL
with Joe Klecko. It was great. Love playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out with Joe Klecko. This, be careful. This could be very addictive.
Be very addictive.
Yeah. Be very careful. This is a wormhole. Don't go into
it. I played Miss Pac-Man with Pac-Man Jones.
That's not it. Miss Pac-Man is an 80s game. Pac-Man Jones is an aughts player.
Right.
That doesn't work.
It's like I was playing Golden Tee with Aldo Greco.
There you go. Everybody hit him. And by the way, excellent golfer. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One of the most exciting plays of the playoffs so far in the NFL would be what? Well, give me just like off the top of your head. I'll give you one.
Whoa.
I'll give you one.
Thanks, Rich.
You got one?
Literally one play got me off the couch. Like, whoa, got me off the couch.
I think I know.
I screamed out loud from my couch on the Saturday night.
Like Network.
Of Wild Card, of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Super.
Taylor Heinicke from the middle of the pocket. Buccaneers all around him. Buzzing all around. Looks like he's about to get sacked. No, Taylor Heinicke escapes. And he leaps for the pylon and hits it with the football. Touchdown. I'm like, whoa! Thank goodness for Taylor Heinicke. It hit the pylon and didn't come out of his hands and roll through the back of the end zone because the defense that was bending and breaking for Tampa Bay would have been bailed out. That's what that is. It's called a bailout. It's a bailout. It's a bailout because if Taylor Heinicke is reaching for that pylon and it gets knocked out right before the pylon goes right out of bounds, guess what? Taylor Heinicke gets the ball. You get to keep the ball if it's out at the one-inch line. But if it's 3 more inches on the other side of the pylon, you do not get to keep it because it's such a precious piece of real estate. 100 yards of NFL real estate. Go ahead and fumble it out of bounds anywhere you want, offense, because you get the ball back. You get the ball back. If it's at the end of a half, the end of a game, you cannot get it out, get it from where it rolls out of bounds. You have to get it from where you fumbled it. Not if it gets knocked out in the field of play and happens to roll the wrong way and then out of bounds. Then the defense that is on its heels, the defense that has no standing in this drive because the other team is right on the precipice of scoring, guess what? You get a football. You get a football. You get a possession. You get offense. Come on back out. Come on back out. Offense that just drove the field. I'm so sorry. Because if the ball had rolled out a few inches towards you, you still have the ball. Stupid ass rule. Worst rule in football. There's nothing that comes anywhere close.
S-A-R.
It is an S-A-R. Stupid ass rule. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it. You can't explain it. Again, they fixed the catch rule because Nickelodeon was able to explain to 5, 6, 7-year-olds what a catch is. Try and explain that to somebody. Oh, you. So, wait a minute. You get to keep the ball if it rolls out anywhere between the pylons, out of bounds. But once it's beyond the pylon and out of bounds, you don't get to keep it. Why? Well, it's the end zone. That's the most precious territory on the field. That's why you get 6 points for getting in there. Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. What?
I'm a 54-year-old, and what? I can't understand that.
Why is that so hard to understand?
What?
It's terrible.
Why don't you get the ball back? Why don't you get the ball back where you fumble it? If you want to make it a penalty because it's such precious territory, and by the way, penalizing with a stupid-ass rule, people who are going all out trying to score, get you off the couch like Taylor Heineke. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You might fumble it. Don't be aggressive. Let's take aggressivity out of the most aggressive sport we have. Stupid-ass rule on every possible way. No. Don't. Try and get me off the couch. You might fumble it because if you fumble it here, you can still get the ball. You fumble it there, just right there, or where? Just a few inches in front? Yeah. If you fumble it there, you lose the ball. And the defense that has no bailout, gets bailed out. Why not, if you want to make it a penalty, why not just say, okay, if that was on a third down play, let's just use Rashard Higgins, for instance, okay? He gets a first down on that play, right? He's a first down, correct? All right. Let's say it's a third down play and you fumble it through. Put the ball on the 15-yard line and say it's now first and goal or third and goal from that spot. You fumble it, goes through the end zone. Guess what? You lose 15 yards. You don't get it right there. You lose 15 yards. So now third and goal from the 15 or first and goal from the 15. So team that fumbles it through still has a chance to maybe score a touchdown. If it's third and goal and third down, well, then guess what? Now you can only get a field goal potentially out of it. But you get to keep the football. Do something. It's so stupid.
Yeah, do something. Don't fumble.
No. Don't sit here and say don't fumble.
Why when someone does something stupid, it's the rule's fault and not the person for doing the stupid thing?
Because in this instance, your argument, and I knew you were going to make it, makes no sense. Because
what are you talking about?
Because the fumble was illegally caused yesterday, Chris.
Oh, two guys diving and their helmets collide? That is a happenstance of the sport of football.
That's cheating with the helmet.
The guy who hit Higgins had his helmet down. He did not see what he hit. By rule, that is a penalty. So in this case, the two things I rail against happened on the same play. So if you let me fix it, that should have been reviewable. Last 2 minutes, Al Riveron should have buzzed in or wherever the hell it happened. The Browns could have thrown the challenge flag. That should be a 15-yard penalty. First down, Cleveland. Now, would it have been from the spot of the fumble? Or would it have been from the spot of the play. 15 yards, first down, Cleveland. Wipe out the play. You get the 15 yards. And then forget about fumbling through the end zone anymore. Stupid play. You can't say don't fumble the ball. He wasn't going for it and then losing it because he's reaching for it. He lost it because somebody came in with the crown of his helmet and hit him.
He lost it because he dove for the pylon. Don't dive.
Why?
Belichick teaches his players. The McCourties tweeted it out yesterday.
No, I know that. I know that.
Don't dive.
Stefanski says the same
dive.
Thing.
That's
a horrible.
Dive.
So you don't want. So okay, somebody who loves the sport
but
as much as
don't do something stupid, and then when the bad thing happens, blame the rule because you did stupid. Don't do stupid.
Don't do stupid.
It's really
stupid.
Easy.
That's really saying don't do stupid.
These guys are going 100 miles per hour, right? They're competitive.
No, but I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate what you're saying too, Chris.
Is that
you could still be competitive but play smart competitive football because certain teams don't do it and other teams do.
Right.
And I say, I don't care. I know it's tough to have an argument with somebody who says I don't care about your well-thought-out point because this rule book is a stupid rule, and I will never be convinced otherwise.
And here's the other thing.
And that's it.
Every rule change happens in the league favors the offense. Every single one. Why can't you just let the defense have this one?
Because it doesn't deserve, they don't deserve it.
Why?
Because you can't even tell me why it's the rule in the first place. Why is it the rule? Why is it the rule?
Why is driving 55 miles an hour the speed limit?
Well, you got to be safe.
Safe. Yeah, it's safety.
I will never be convinced otherwise.
Why is it 35 another?
The two things, I couldn't believe it. And by the way, the number of people that texted me, you were first. Congratulations.
I was first?
Yes, you were.
Thank you.
Kurt Warner was second on a game day morning. Okay. Ian Rappaport tweeted me. Peter King texted me. Yeah. All that stuff. Do you know who called me?
Who?
Al Riveron, the head of NFL refs.
Because he knew.
He called me in between the games. As soon as the Kansas City Browns game was over. He didn't do it in, you know,
well,
in the
time.
Middle of it.
Yeah.
He called me. He called me after the game. There's your rule. There's your rule, says the head of NFL refs. He knows how stupid I think it is.
But he has come here before in studio.
I know.
And
he's explained to me why it is. It will never get changed. And yeah. I don't care is what I'm saying. I don't care.
But that's not a good argument.
Because I was told that over and over and over again by one of Al's predecessors about the Tuck rule. I was told about that over and over and over again by Mike Pereira about the Tuck rule being important because it removes the gray area between when somebody is considered throwing it and running it. And I always responded to Mike that the concept of about to throw it and then bring it down is the actual line of demarcation. That's the when you say I am throwing, but I'm bringing it down to run it, is the clear intention of no longer intending to throw. You don't need to have this motion as the gray area, as some sort of transition period between throwing and running. This whole bringing it down should not be a transition period. It's actually the line that you've crossed. It's not a gray area that you, with this stupid-ass rule, are putting in. No, 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 is all I was told. And guess what? I was right all
But these two things are not the same.
They are, because I'm fully in my gut knowing I'm right. And the last time I felt like this was the catch rule. That got changed. And then before that was the tuck rule. That got changed. What I'm saying is right now, you think I'm 2 for 3, but I'm hitting 1,000. Or you just got shown up by the host.
No, I haven't shown him up because there's a ton of people like him who also think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, okay?
And this is just the sports version of that. And that there's tons of people who do believe what Chris is saying. He's not saying like he's got a tinfoil hat on his head. And I know people look at me like I've got the tinfoil hat on my head. All I know is that I've been down this road before about a rule, and I am hitting 3 for 3, and one day.
I hope I'm
one
there.
Day.
If it happens, I hope
Cage Brockman at either the high school level or college level, as Syracuse is back on top.
Oh, we're back.
Or the Patriots turn into Cage Brockman. He is going to, without care or concern, reach out for that pylon and score for dear old dad and his team, and you're going to be... Rich was right.
No, because Rich, I'm going to teach him not to die for the pylon.
My point is the rule had been changed by then,
Just
Chris.
Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it has to be changed. Change the way you behave.
No. See, that's what sheep say. I'm a lion.
Gosh.
I'm a lion. Ooh. I'm a lion. I look at things and say not about why not. Why not now is what I'm saying.
Why do I get pulled over for speeding? Change the speed limit.
No.
Or don't speed.
That's not it. That's not it.
Bro, to use the argument, like you're going 100 miles per hour out there.
Other teams not do this?
A lot of teams do it. Derek Carr keeps doing it to his detriment. I've lost track of how many times he's fumbled through the end zone. It happens. It keeps happening. And every single time it happens. I say err on the side of allowing the aggressive play in football. Do it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.